It's kind of nice, isn't it? You get this buzz on, you know, I call it the buzz. I don't know if that's the right biblical term, but when these things start rolling with God's word, there's like a buzz, you know, even like when you lay your head down on your pillow and get ready to go to sleep, you're just you're thinking of all the great word you heard. You're thinking of, or, you know, at least I am, of all the great people that are here. And, oh, gee whiz, you know, the people that God put on your heart to especially pray for. You know, like, if you pay attention, God will let you know stuff. He works in us to willing to do of his good pleasure. There was a song I was thinking of, you know, our band, we probably know about 90 songs, maybe more. And I thought of this one, which we haven't played forever, but I asked Brian and Lance if they would do it because it follows, it piggybacks on what Dean shared. Jeez, Dean, nice going. Great sharing. He's just the greatest guy in the world. So I want Lance and Brian to share this song. So I thought this would bless you. Give them one hand.
Surgery clap.
This was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him, that we might live through him. Hearing his love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave his Son to be the full payment for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another, pray for one another, speak the word to one another, to love one another. Do you remember where we were before? We were without God, and we were without God and hope in the world. But God, who is rich in mercy, he loved us and gave us life. We are sons of God now, and in you there is Christ, and he's coming back for you. You see, God first loved you. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him, that we might live through him. Hearing his love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave his Son to be the full payment for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another, pray for one another, speak his word to one another,
to heal one another too,
to love one another.
Yeah. Good God.
That's good.
If you turn to 115, please, we are going to sing a song. And number 115. The next person that's going to teach God's word is Jesse Carr. So, you know, when Liz and I moved to California, the one thing that years ago, The one thing that I asked God that would make me feel more comfortable about that was that the fellowships that we oversaw would be taken care of. And God did what God does, and Tony and Kimberly Hunt took over those fellowships. How awesome is that? Then when Georgia came up for us to go to Georgia, I didn't care about my dog. I did know I'd miss my kids, but the thing that was the biggest on my heart also was the fellowships there, you know, that we helped to oversee. And Jesse and Lisi, how awesome it is that they stepped in to take care of those fellowships and to live God's word with God's people, and how wonderful and how blessed I was that we could go very peacefully to Georgia, you know, and God does that. So I'm just so blessed. I've had such a privilege to work with Jesse for years, and really blessed he's going to share God's word. To share God's word, Jesse Carr.
Please sit. Thank you very much for the kind intro. When Dean mentioned the fellowship coordinators and got teary-eyed, well, my dad chaired last night, and he was obviously my first fellowship coordinator. Dean, there's a great long story about Dean's involvement in getting young people going in the Word. He saw me through my teenage years, and then when I went off to college, I was in the very capable hands of Michael and Liz, so I've already seen a bunch of the people who raised me up in the Word sit in this very seat, so that's awesome. What we're going to get in the Word about today, during my session here, is benefits of being together and giving. One of the definitions Dean gave for fellowship was awesome. I'm not sure if that was like the Mo Chetta guy or whatever you referenced, but it's a share in a common life. So we're going to look at things about the lifestyle of giving when we're together. So let's actually begin in Philippians. While you're on the way there, sometimes when you put a teaching together, you feel like you got the word all set, and God, you know, helps you with that part, but then, you know, you feel like there might be one additional component. And on Tuesday, we have the privilege at our fellowship that Michael mentioned, that we helped, I guess, take over or assume from him. We have Terry Lee at our fellowship. Where's Terry Lee? You gave a word of prophecy before. There she is. And every few months, Terry Lee will drop and hand off a little blue folder with some beautiful piece of writing she writes. She writes the greatest things. And she wrote a poem just on Tuesday that fits perfectly for this subject, so I'm going to read that. So this is by Terry Lee. It's a poem called My Family, and that's you guys. No one means as much to me as those I call my family. Each member's lovely and unique. Without each one, we're not complete. The bond that ties us is strong as steel. It can't be broken, for we are sealed. With Holy Spirit from God above, who calls us sons and his beloved. Though we are many, we stand as one, against the foe till the victory is won. In love, our hearts are tightly knit. Hope keeps our minds so we don't quit. We need each other, and that's a fact. By prayer, we have each other's back. Peace comforts us and gives us rest. We shine as lights because we're God's best. My family's love sustains my heart when we're together and when we're apart. Nowhere else can it be found, a household where such joy abounds. Lovely poem, right? Let's give a round of applause for that. It's wonderful. Philippians 1, let's start there. So we're going to look at the heart of Paul here. And the way he interacted among these believers in Philippi. And then we're, of course, going to go and look at Acts 2. So Philippians 1, verse 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. It's a good place to start, and I think we're going to hear more about that. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident, we're in verse 6, of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. So in verse 7, Paul was constantly thinking of them, and as we should of each other. Look, before I came up here, my dad talked about the buzz going on, right? I mean, we all have our hearts stirred and ready to hear God's word, and how could we not? You know, there's so much light that we're hearing, that we're receiving, so much word that we're hearing, and we're around each other. You guys are already praying. There was deliverance last night. Some deep stuff happened, of course, when we were speaking in tongues for each other. I mean, that's how it started. So there's already, like, it's easy. There's a bunch of us here. The word's being shared. The adversary has no place here right now. And, you know, in the world, it's not quite that easy. It takes a little more work. But the lifestyle of the believers in the first century church is something for us to look at and emulate, because they had a lot of things clicking pretty well. Look at how Paul thought of the believers. So that was in verse 7, right? Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. So in verse 8, for God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And I mean, that's a deep amount of, he really missed them. And bowels here, as it says in verse 8, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. Bowels is this word that means the inward parts. And it's a metaphor. It's a representation of the affections or the seat of which we regard as the heart. He really missed them in a deep way. Look at verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Let's look at verse 27 in Philippians 1. Only let your conversation, and again, that's the manner of life. Dean, again, shared that definition, share in a common life. Well, what kind of life? Verse 27, let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. That's our quest too. So the simple idea for being with one another, one of the ways to think about it, is to give and serve. If we're together and we're all after giving and serving one another, what we could expect is watching God take care of us. Our own needs get met. It's very anti the world, where you try to crush the person next to you and, you know, ascend to the top of your career, which is your passion or some weird word, right? God's system is you take care of other people and then watch God take care of you. Go to Philippians 2, verse 1. If there be, therefore, any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any, and it's the same word, bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy. And there are these great words here in Philippians 2, 2. And this should be the way that we quest to live our lives. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Well, that's a lot. So, like-minded, same love, one accord, one mind. Let, verse 3, nothing be done through strife or vainglory. It's not going to work if we're after the praise for ourselves, if all those things in verse 3 about being together, sorry, in verse 2, are to come to pass. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And that look is this awesome word, scopeo, which is worth, you know, some inspection if you ever want to do it. It means like a scope or a microscope. If we're really looking to bless somebody else, it's not a passing look, right? It's not a look like you see something interesting on the road when you're driving, right? It's not a look like if you're in a crowd and you see an attractive person where you just glance and then you go about your time after that, right? This look is to really hone in on and to focus on. And in order to be like-minded, have the same love, one accord, one mind, you have to, and we're charged to look on other people's things, right? Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Look at Acts 2 now. So we'll go a little bit back and forth here between Philippians and Acts. Acts 2. Same section we've been reading. We just heard a great teaching on fellowship. And this teaching is very much about fellowship also. Because we need each other. This has to be something we do together. So chapter 2, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed, and you get this list of things that are like communal again, were together and had all things common, and verse 45, sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. They didn't hoard their stuff. They didn't even consider their stuff their own. We're going to see that in a little while. There's a different verse where it talks about that. So many times we hear people, and maybe we too, make decisions based on things, based on just worldly ideas and concepts. Like, you know, we need these things, but if all our decisions are wrapped up in our home, or in our car, or our investments, if all our quote-unquote hard work or our quote-unquote career aspirations or our passion are wrapped up in things that we want, if it's me making these decisions and it's all wrapped up in me, things I want, and in things, and not in the church or the believers, or of being of one accord with others, it's just basically a quest to be more like how the world is. I don't want to be like that. I don't want to move up in the world and be rewarded by being more shaped by it, right? This is a system the adversary has set up where it gets us to look at our own things. Well, the way God wants us to do it is to look at blessing other people and to not only think about our own things. It shouldn't be our quest to live more like the world. We should see the world and want to be less like it. And, you know, we can't do it alone. I need your help, and we need each other's help. Our lifestyles can be like the believers in Acts 2. Lots of people here live like that, make decisions to, you know, maybe like where you live. Is it an easier commute? Does it cost you less in tolls? Or is it a place where you're able to receive the love of the people near you, right? Are we near people who can help us? Is it going to a fellowship, like Dean talked about, a small group of people, 6 to 8 people or something like that, where we can get our needs met, where we can hear the word we need and be blessed? And lots of things get in the way of that. And it seems like as I'm getting older, lots of things are a challenge to put away that might be potential distractions, like kids stuff, home stuff, all that. You know, to have all things common and be like-minded is an awesome goal. So let's look in Acts 2:45. So again, in 44, all things common. Look what they did in 45. Sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. You know, undivided loyalty is one translation of that. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. There was an undivided loyalty when they were taking care of each other. So let's go back to Philippians 2. We were in verse 4 where the word says to look not every man on his own things. So let's look at Philippians 2, verse 4. Bless you. We've had great examples of people who, I mean, like Michael and Liz, they uprooted their home and went somewhere very far away at risk of job and money or security or whatever. God took care of all that stuff for them. They have a lovely home. And, you know, it's our job to trust God and make the people, God's people, you. That should be our goal. Our goal should be, what can we do to bless you? To look and spend the time necessary. Like that, like the examples last night of a great minister or a servant who's really in there with his people. Someone looking around to bless. All right, so let's look at verse 5. The best example of this was Jesus Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, and who was made in the likeness of men. Jesus Christ is the ultimate example. He chose to be a servant. He chose to put his own needs aside, to place himself in a position of service and not one of rulership. He served to the point of giving his own life. And what was the result of the greatest service? Well, it was the greatest seal of honor. Look at verse 8. Found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, the greatest servant, look at the end of verse 9, and given him a name which is above every name. That's a pretty high reward for the greatest service. There's no greater name. Let's go to chapter 3, verse 17. Philippians 3:17. So Paul exhorts them still, brethren, be followers of me, together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. And sample is example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. These are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction. And check this out, verse 19. Whose God is their belly. Selfish, right? And whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. The way of the world is to mind earthly things. The way of the world is to get what you can get. The way of the world is, as it says here, things that are in what he's talking about here in verse 18, the enemies of the cross of Christ. And then in 19, whose God is their belly, who mind earthly things. So we need to be careful that the time we spend is spent in, you know, really thinking about how to bless other people and not just only be concerned with ourselves. There's a great reward for it, which we're going to see. All right, let's look at chapter 4, verse 1. A verse we all learned as kids will make a little better sense in context here. There's a great examination of this chapter in the New Dynamic Church, which I'm going to read from in a bit, in this great chapter called The Christian's Joy and Crown. So let's look at verse 1, Philippians 4, verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Now, we saw it at the beginning that Paul was really blessed to think about them, right? And the way he thinks and communicates the way he thinks about them here is his joy and crown. You can keep your finger here and pop over to 1 Thessalonians 2. Saw this verse recently, and it blessed me as well. 1 Thessalonians 2, a lot of us know he speaks very highly of these believers in Thessalonica. And here's a way to look at that in chapter 2, verse 17. All right. 1 Thessalonians 2:17. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore, we would have come again unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. Verse 19. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? And let's make it clear in verse 20. Ye are our glory and joy. That's how he thought about the believers there. And, you know, we're thinking about each other in this way now because we're all here and it's wonderful. And we need to make sure that, you know, in August or whatever's going on then, right, that it's not just back to the way of the world, back to thinking about things the world thinks about it, the way the world makes it all selfish and about, I don't know, all the ways that we could be distracted from giving to other people. Back to Philippians 4. Let's go to verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the least your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. So what he's specifically referencing here is the believers in Philippi who gave to him. Paul needed stuff, and the believers in Philippi gave. In verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. This explained well in this chapter, The Christian's Joy and Crown in the New Dynamic Church. So after verse 11, now that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Paul said he was not complaining about his needs, for he had learned that in whatsoever state he was to be self-adequate, not content. So instead of content, read self-adequate, as the King James Version says. The text literally reads, I learned in whatsoever state I am self-adequate. Christ in you makes you self-adequate. Are you lacking anything according to the word of God? The Word says, no, you're complete in him. If we are complete, we are complete. We cannot lack anything. Therefore, in every situation, we are more than conquerors. We are self-sufficient because we are complete in him. Pretty cool. So that's verse 11. Verse 12, I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I could do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. It's a verse I learned as a child and that we teach to our kids, right? Because through Christ, he knew how to take care of himself, whether things were awesome or whether he had need. And verse 14, notwithstanding, you have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now, ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. So he's very blessed that a couple times the Philippians gave to him. Now, watch how this turns around. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Verse 17, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Paul understood giving and receiving quite well. He was excited for the Philippian believers who gave to him because they were going to receive more. He was looking forward to the time when they were going to receive fruit that would abound to their account. Amazing. He understood giving and receiving pretty well. Verse 18, I have all and abound. I am full. And in this case, what he was saying is, I have what I need right now. Being received of Epaphroditus, the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. You've probably seen this verse too. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He was saying that God will help you and provide your need because they had given to him. Just in verse 17, he was saying that fruit would abound to their account. And in 19, he's saying, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. In context, it means that as we give, God supplies our needs. It's an awesome way to live, to have our mind looking to see how we can bless somebody else. It's not only about our 60-hour work week that we think we need to work in order to get a promotion, which I'm not sure what that gets you, you know, but more work maybe. But it's giving when someone needs it. Our thoughts can certainly be on doing our work heartily. That's our job as well. But it doesn't need to be our end-all, be our identification, the way that we think of ourselves. So on the heels of that, this is also from the Christian's Joy and Crown, after verse 19. Here's what it says. In context, you will understand this verse. God shall supply all your need. Literally refers to material things, not to spiritual things. The Philippians had given of their material things to the Apostle Paul. They ministered to his necessity. Paul is saying, now that you've communicated toward me, God will now supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Again, we see that law at work. Give and receive. The law works with reliability. God shall supply your material needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, which is a lot richer than our bank or our plan. By his foreknowledge, he knows our need before we ask. So we're silly to not expect that God can't meet our need. But the way that he's extra able to do it is when we give. Look at Luke 12. Luke 12. Everything in the world. I teach in a place where these kids often go on to material success. They are programmed, literally as kids, to study hard, work hard, and I guess in a certain sense that's okay, but what it becomes by the time I get them in high school is that rarely is it ever enough and nothing's good enough. And I had this conversation with them a few times during the year. I make sure to do it. I ask them what they get out of that, and their answer inevitably is a good college. Well, what do you get out of that? A degree and a chance for a good job. Well, what do you get out of that? Chance to make money. What do you get out of that? Security. What do you get out of that? What do you get out of the next promotion? Getting the MBA or getting the further degree? And often they just say, well, we want to make sure our children are secure, our children are safe. All of the things that they answer about safety, getting their needs met, security, I guess that's the same as safety. Those are things God promises us. And those are things that we get in droves as we give. You don't need to do all that other stuff necessarily for God to bless you. I don't see it in the Word where we have to, you know, never be satisfied with our education or our salary. It says to work, but we'll see that in a second. Luke 12, verse 15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. That should not be our quest. 2 Corinthians 9. I think we know this, and this is one of the great reminders where we can get together and see just how wonderful it is to be around each other, to get our needs met, to get healed. I don't know about you, but sometimes I get healed just from the music. I guess you too. 2 Corinthians 9, 6. But I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. I mean, it's simple. Give. Let's close in Acts 4. Now, all through Acts, there are just these great records of how together everybody was. Dean read one before from Acts 5. This is an awesome one in Acts 4. This isn't fiction. People live like this then. And it's not just something to study as like a historical document and nod at and appreciate. It's something to aspire to. Acts 4, verse 32. Oops. The multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. It's like us. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. They were so awesome that they just forgot to think about things as belonging to them. What a great goal, to not make it about our stuff. Even if our goal is to have the best stuff so that we can take care of God's people with stuff, that's fine. But remember the people too. They're part of it, not just the stuff. And with great power gave, verse 33, the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. It wasn't just the people who had worked their 60 hours that didn't lack. They were sharing. They were giving. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. So let's make our lives about giving, about zooming in on people's lives, seeing, and remember that was Philippians 2:4, look and see how we can see how we could bless somebody with something just for them. That's what our God does for us when we're able to give. That's it. Thanks. Thanks, Michael.